Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
When you understand that your old sinful nature, that old man is gone, and you are now a brand new person, as you renew your mind to that, you will bring forth fruit unto God.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series where I'm teaching verse by verse through the book of Romans, and this is nearing the end of my fifth week of teaching, and we're in Romans chapter 7. And I said this on our program yesterday, but it's a little hard to teach through this, not because what I'm saying is wrong or hard or it's hard to understand, but it is so contrary to the way that most people believe. And so therefore, most people just, it's like they don't have the foundation to understand these things. So that is the reason I am really encouraging you to please get this brand new book that I've put out on the book of Romans. It has my teaching that I'm doing here on television, but it also has the teaching from my living commentary. I have now written a commentary on over 26,000 verses in the Bible, and it has the Romans portion of that living commentary in there, plus a teaching that I've done. And so you put all of this together, and then I've got CDs and DVDs. We got a package deal. I encourage you to please get it, because this is just hard to get in little 30-minute segments. Paul has been making the point that he started in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and he's been making that point through seven chapters now. We've covered a lot of material, and I just haven't got time to go back through it. Please get this teaching. You can go to our website, and you can look at all of the archive television programs there for free, and it would just really, really help you. So we're now in Romans chapter 7. And yesterday I got through verse 13. In verse 14 it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." And he's going to make this point down here in just a couple of verses, but he's not talking about his born-again self. If you take this chapter and if you go back through the teaching I've been doing all of this week, in the first few verses he was comparing our death to that old sinful nature, like a woman being married to a tyrant. And the only way she could get out of that marriage was for the old man to die. Well, likewise, our body and our soul were married to this old sinful nature. But when we got born again, Jesus killed that old man and took it out of the way. And we are now free to be married unto Him and bring forth fruit unto Him. So the analogy that's being made all the way through the seventh chapter is talking about what the Bible calls the flesh part of us. You know, this is one of the things that I really don't like about some of the modern translations. They will use this term for flesh. They will talk about the old man or the old nature. And the flesh is not talking about that sinful carnal nature. It's talking about the body and soul combination that is not submitted to God. And versus our born-again nature that is a completely brand new creation in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So anyway, the reason I said all of that is to say that when he says, "I am carnal, sold under sin," he's not talking about his born-again person. He's talking about this natural, physical part of us, just our physical body and our mental, emotional part of us, what the Bible calls the soul. The body and the soul is what he's referring to here. And then, beginning with verse 15 through the end of this chapter, he says some things here that the traditional way that this is interpreted is that they're saying that this is how Paul was. After all of these decades of serving God and him writing half of the books in the New Testament, even after all of this, Paul was still carnal, and the things that he wanted to do, he couldn't do, and that he just struggled with this sinful nature. And they use these verses to basically justify a defeated carnal life. And they say even the Apostle Paul, after all these decades, was still struggling with this. I reject that. That's not what this is saying. And that is not what you read in the book of Acts and in the epistles that Paul is talking about. Man, Paul talks about he ran the race. He finished the course. He has run a good race and done all of these things. This is not descriptive of the way the Apostle Paul was. What this is talking about is that apart from Jesus, if you're just going to talk about his flesh, his own natural ability, then Paul is describing this part of him that is carnal and sold under sin, not his spiritual man. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul isn't describing that here. Over in Galatians 2:20, when he was saying that, that's who he was in the Spirit, and he walked in the Spirit, and he had victory in the Spirit. But if you could just somehow or another take away the Spirit part, and if you left Paul on his own to live under his own strength and power, this is the way his flesh was by itself. Man, again, this is hard to say because it's just so contrary to what most people think. Let me use myself as an example. That you know what? Through the Lord, I have been blessed and I have seen awesome things happen. I've seen my son raised from the dead. I've seen my wife raised from the dead. I've seen multiple other people raised from the dead. I have seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open. And I know that there's people watching this program that will disagree with that. You don't believe that those things happen today, but I'm telling you, they happen. Whether you believe it or not, I'm just telling you what happened. I have seen miracles happen. But that is because of Christ in me. It's because of who I am in Christ. It isn't me that did it. I can't heal a gnat. If you somehow or another could just separate me from who I am in Christ and let me do things just on my own, I couldn't get a cold heal. I can't do anything. Now see, that's an absolute true statement. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. I agree with that 100%, but I'm never without him. And it would be wrong for me just to say that I can't heal anybody, that I can't do anything. It would be wrong for me to say that and make that just an emphatic statement. If I'm saying without Christ, if you're just talking about me and my own physical ability, well then yes, it's absolutely true. I don't have any healing power. This power isn't coming from me. I am not the power source. God is the power source, but that power source lives in me. So see, as Paul began to start saying these things, look at this. He said right here in verse 14 again, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, and look at this, he says in parentheses, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. If Paul would have just said, I know that in me dwelleth no good thing, that would have been wrong because he was born again and he had a born again spirit. And that spirit was identical with Jesus. If he had left out this parenthetical phrase that says, that is in my flesh, then he would have been inaccurate in what he said. And everything that he's saying in these verses right here is not talking about who he was in Christ and how he was living his life at his time. He was just talking about, if you could divorce me from my born-again self and what God has done in me and Jesus living through me, here's what I'm capable of on my own. Now that is really important because this is not saying that this is the way that the man who wrote half of the books of the New Testament was after decades of serving God. He was still struggling and he just couldn't do what he wanted to do. That's not true. Paul was living a victorious life. He wasn't doing perfectly, but he was living a victorious life And this is not descriptive of who he was as a whole individual. This is just saying that without Christ, in my flesh, this is how I am. And I can agree with that 100%. You know what? God has given me, He has blessed me not only in seeing people healed and things like that, but in running this ministry. We had over 700 employees. And you know what? I don't have the wisdom to be able to do that. I was just with a man yesterday and we drove up to Denver and back. We were with each other for a couple of hours. And he was asking me, how in the world can you run a ministry that has over 700 employees? How can you do this? And I told him, I said, I can't do it in myself. I don't have the wisdom. I am not an administrator. I am not a organizer. Those aren't my strengths. And so he was just grilling me, asking me how you do this. And I said, look, it is just God. It is God living through me. So for me to say that I cannot do what I'm doing right now would be wrong, because Christ lives in me and He empowers me. But if you were to say, well, without Christ, what could you do? I would be able to tell you that, man, without His supernatural wisdom and without God's blessing on me, my life would be just 100% failure. That would be an accurate statement. But if I just say that I am a failure, I can't do anything, that's wrong, because I now have Christ living on the inside of me. So I hope you get my point. This is not the Apostle Paul describing how he was living. This is him describing how he would be if it was just his flesh, if it was just his own ability. If it was just him, then he could not do the good things that he wants to do. He would wind up failing and doing wrong. That's the way any of us are. You know, there are some people that are more talented than others. There are some people that are just beautiful looking people. They've got, you know, talents and abilities. I've often told people that, man, I am not one of those 10 talent guys that just has the ability and to do all of these things. I've never been super successful in anything that I've done. But I have discovered that when I just turn from myself and my own selfish ability and I say, God, I can do all things through Christ. Not I can do all things, but through Christ I can do all things. I have done things that are just totally beyond myself. I mean, it's amazing. Jamie and I at one time were so poor that we couldn't pay attention. I mean, we would go weeks without food. And now I am seeing millions of dollars flow into this ministry on a monthly basis. I'm doing things that I can't do, but because of my union with Christ, I'm able to do it. And so this is what Paul is describing. He is describing what the flesh is like. And there are some people that have USDA choice flesh. I mean, they are just, they're good in every area. And the sad fact is, most people that are like that begin to trust in themselves and in their own ability. They think, God, you just introduce me. You give me the audience. You put me on the stage and I can handle it from here. I'm an awesome person. You know what? That's a person that's trusting in their flesh. It's actually positive for you to feel inadequate. It's actually a good thing. You know, in our Bible college, we have a course where you have to stand up and teach for 10 minutes. And man, this terrifies people. And I've actually had people that quit the school after the first year because in the second year, they didn't want to give that 10-minute talk. And I mean, there's people that just feel so inadequate. And I've had some of those people come to me, but I just am fearful. And I said, you know what? That's actually good. And they say, how is that good? Because it means that you have to depend upon God. If you can get beyond your fear and your feeling of inadequacy, and if you can say, I'm not adequate in myself, but through Christ I can do all things, I said, that is the greatest position to be in. And this is what this is describing. Paul is talking about who he is just in himself. In himself, he can't do the good that he wants to do, and the bad that he doesn't want to do, he finds himself doing it. This is how it is in his natural man, in the part of him that is not controlled by God. But this is not descriptive of his whole person and how he was towards the end of his life. No, this is just saying this is how we are in the flesh. And again, I read that verse in verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh." Not talking about who he is in the Spirit. He walked in the Spirit. But in just his own natural ability, there dwells no good thing. "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." You cannot serve God just out of your own ability. The Christian life is not an improved life. It's an exchanged life. Man, that bears repeating. The Christian life is not just an improved life. It's not like God says, "Well, you tried it on your own. Now, here, I'm going to wind you up and try again, and this time do it better." No, the Christian life isn't you just doing better than you did when you were on your own and now you draw on the Lord some. No, the Christian life is an exchanged life where you die to yourself, where you die to your own confidence, self-confidence, and you just turn your life over. And it's like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it's not you living anymore. It's Christ living in you and through you. The life that you're living by His faith, not by just your faith in Him, but by His faith. You are living by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. So the Christian life is you literally dying to yourself and to your own ability, to your own wisdom, and just becoming completely dependent upon God. There are very, very few Christians that have done that. There are even less Christians who have understood this and are even moving in that direction. The average Christian is doing their own thing and asking God to bless it. That's not what this is talking about. This is trying to show you that apart from God, in your flesh, just in your own self-will and ability, you cannot do the things that you want to do. In verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that do I. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." And again, I've said this multiple times during this series, but this isn't talking about individual actions of sin. This is talking about that sin nature. You know, you need to get my book and get the exact statistic on this. I'm doing this by memory and I might not have it exactly right. But out of 30, I think it's 38 times the word sin is used in the book of Romans, there are only 2 times that it's talking about an action of sin. The other times, the Greek word is specifically identifying that sin nature, that sinful nature that you were born with. And Paul here is not talking about who he is now that he's born again and that sinful nature is gone. He's describing what it's like for a person with a sin nature who has not been forgiven and received salvation and had Jesus take out that sinful nature and give us this new nature. He's describing about a person who's just trying to live for God and fulfill the law out of their own ability. And you cannot do it. It's not you, it's sin. It's that sin nature that dwells in you. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members," talking about in his body, his physical feelings, and his mental, emotional part. "I find another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And then in verse 24, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That is not talking about the Apostle Paul decades after his conversion and after he had written half of the books of the New Testament saying that he is just a wretched man. This is saying apart from Christ. In Christ, that born-again part of him was as holy and pure as Jesus is. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, Jesus, so are we in this world." In the spirit man, Paul was identical to Jesus, and he's not calling Jesus a wretched man. This is just talking about who Paul would be without Christ, just in his own natural ability, his flesh. It was incapable of serving God. And without Christ, we are nothing. We have nothing. And we can do nothing without Christ. And that's the point that he's making. And he just cries out, how can we ever get over this flesh? How can we ever get beyond the limitations of our physical body and our corrupted, sinful thinking and stuff? And he answers that question in the next verse, in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And so he ends this chapter positively saying, man, I can't do it in myself, my flesh. I can't do the things that I want to do, the things I don't want to do. I find myself doing it. But through Christ, we are now delivered. And then he goes into the eighth chapter. I'm not going to have time on today's program to go into the eighth chapter, but man, the eighth chapter is full of victory. The seventh chapter was full of defeat. And let me just contrast this and say that the word Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, I think the word Spirit was used one time in the seventh chapter, but in the eighth chapter, I think there are 19 times that the Holy Spirit is mentioned. And the one time that Spirit was mentioned in Romans 7, it wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit, it was talking about your mental disposition, the way you think. So in chapter 7, where all this defeat was mentioned, the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned. This is talking about the flesh, what you are capable of, what I'm capable of just on our own. But in chapter 8, where it talks about total victory, about that we are, you know, more than conquerors, that God has just done all of these awesome things for us. In the 8th chapter, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times because it's contrasting the flesh, chapter 7, with the Holy Spirit, our born-again spirit being controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and there is victory in the 8th chapter. Man, if you can take all of this in its context and understand this, this is just a recipe for victory in the Christian life. Chapter 7 is showing you the reason the law was given is because people think that I can serve God in my own strength and own ability. So God gave the law and it made that sinful nature rise up and show you how incapable of doing anything in your own strength and power you are. That was the purpose of the law, was to show you that you are a mess without Jesus, that you need Jesus ruling and controlling your life. And so it talks about all of this frustration and defeat. But then in the 8th chapter, here comes total victory, that we are more than conquerors. Nothing will be able to separate us from the life of God that is in Christ Jesus. He's going to quicken our mortal flesh. We are heirs and joint heirs. All of those are statements from the 8th chapter, and it's because the Holy Spirit we are now living under the power of the Holy Spirit. So it'll be on my program tomorrow when I get into talking about all of the victorious things in the 8th chapter. I tell you, I'm excited. God is going to do something special during these meetings.
I felt that he was just speaking truth.
The perspective is so different. It's so new, and the understanding runs so deep.
God has given us everything that we need in seed form, and the Word of God has to be sown in your heart. Man, that is powerful.
I know that he gets before the Lord, and there's always a freshness, even on things that we already have revelation on. There's a today in time word.
You have to get to where you believe in the power of words every moment of every day. When you start speaking to your problem and commanding it to leave, that's when you start seeing great things happen.
Andrew's teaching and the love that he has for God's word and truth, it is the gospel truth.
Man, before I came to Caris, I was so broken.
I dealt a lot with anxiety and depression. I didn't really realize I could have an actual relationship with God.
God longs to have fellowship with you.
This is where faith comes from. It's not just head knowledge, Bible school knowledge. It's revelation knowledge that changes you.
You come here and you meet God personally, and then he gives you a whole new direction.
This is a time, this is a season of your life that God's wanting to show you who you really are and what he's wanting to do in your life.
If you have a desire for Bible college, God's the one that put it there.
If you're considering coming to Caris, I just want to say it's going to be one of the best decisions you've made in your life.
This week on our Gospel Truth program, I'm teaching through the book of Romans, and I mentioned healing a lot. And did you know we just happen to have our healing is here taking place this week here in Woodland Park, Colorado. If you haven't checked it out, we would still encourage you to come. We've seen people raised from the dead during this conference. We've seen over 1,000 people healed in just a 2 or 3 day period of time. It would be worth the effort to come and be with us, at least live stream it, but check it out. Our Healing is Here conference in Woodland Park, Colorado. If you haven't yet partnered with us, I'd like to encourage you to pray about it. And then if the Lord says so, join with us, because we are taking the gospel not only through television, but we have Caris Bible College with over 8,000 graduates. We're pumping out over 200,000 free hours of material on our website, and we're just reaching all around the world. We couldn't do it without partners. So join with us and become a partner with us today.
Andrew is pleased to announce the release of his brand new hardback book titled Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace. This brand new book includes all of Andrew's personal study notes and commentary on the book of Romans, compiled from Andrew's Life for Today Study Bible and Living Commentary. This valuable resource is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, is also available in a CD or DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each of these valuable resources are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get this teaching. Today, you heard Andrew's personal revelation on the book of Romans. You can study through the entire Bible with Andrew when you get his continually updated living commentary. Andrew has priced this valuable study tool at only $120. Go to awmi.net to download yours today. Also today, Andrew's offering the Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs as his free gift to you when you write or call. This special offer is a $50 value, absolutely free when you contact us today. Or you can get each of these valuable resources as part of the Romans package. This package includes Andrew's Living Commentary, as well as the Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, hardback book, your choice of either the CD or DVD album, and Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs. This incredible package has a catalog value of $275, but you can receive all of these valuable resources today for just $197. You can become a Grace Partner or order resources through our website at awmi.net. You can also order resources or receive prayer by calling our helpline at 719-635-1111. Our helpline is open Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day, and Saturday and Sunday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time.